You're listening to the Daily Mishnah Podcast with Benedict.
So as we go through the 14th chapter, we get into a set of Mishnayot which seem to repeat themselves. And they are, in fact, entirely repeating themselves in terms of format. But they're just dealing with slightly different situations, all of them revolving around questions of consent, of limited capacity, and of course, the status of marriages conducted with limited consent. And we said already that a marriage conducted between two people who both have full capacity is considered by the rabbis to be deraita, to be, if you like, mandated by biblical law. The rabbis say this, by the way, the Bible doesn't. But the rabbis declare it deraita. Whereas if someone of, let's say, a cheresh, someone who's a deaf mute, the rabbis consider him to be of limited capacity, gets married. Okay, the rabbis make a takana that that sort of person can get married because there, you know, it would be tragic if he couldn't. But the marriage doesn't have the same weight. And in particular, those individuals don't have the capacity to perform chalitza. So we learned in the fourth Mishnah of the 12th chapter, ha-cheresh she-nechalatz ve-chereshet she-chalatza ve-cholatzet lakatzan chalitzata psula. If a deaf man, this is a deaf mute in the time of the Mishnah, if he had chalitza, if he submitted to chalitza, or if a deaf woman, deaf mute woman performed chalitza, or if chalitza was performed on a minor, the chalitza is invalid. We need capacity. We need mental, if you like, mental willingness to perform chalitza. And this is different, by the way, from yibum, from levirate marriage. So as far as yibum is concerned, if a man dies childless and leaves a widow and also leaves a brother, then there's a bond between his widow and his brother that is formed kind of instantly and simultaneously. And it's only broken by chalitza or by sexual intercourse. And that intercourse does, unlike chalitza, the sexual intercourse does not require consent or knowledge. So the requirement for consent is asymmetric. And this bond is formed instantly upon the death of the childless man. Interesting that the whole halacha is formed in terms of the state of the childless state of the man, not the woman. But you know, we've said before, the rabbis, this halacha is codified in the Beit Midrash by men. So let's now keep those ideas in mind and let's jump into the middle of the 14th chapter. We're at the fifth Mishnah. Shnei achin pikhin nesuin l'shtei achayot, achat chereshet ve'achat pikachat. So we got two brothers with full mental capacity, and they're married to two sisters. So this trope, the brothers and the sisters, we've seen before. They're married to two sisters, and of course we know already before we go into the Mishnah that yibum is impossible in the case of two sisters, because while levirate marriage yibum is mandatory, you can't marry your wife's sister. It's absolutely prohibited. So in this case, the obligation of yibum never arises. But the course of marriage status of these two is going to be slightly in doubt, because these two brothers of sound senses, nesuim lishtei achayot, they're married to two sisters, achat chereshet ve'achat pikachat. One of them is a deaf mute and the other has complete faculties. So we know already that one of these marriages will have full fat strength, if you like, full strength, fully caffeinated, deraita status, and the other has a lesser status. We know that. Well, let's find out what happens. Mate, pikeach bal chereshet. So the one of sound senses who was married to the deaf mute died. So the deaf mute's now a widow. Maya se pikeach bal pikacha. What does the husband of the one with full senses do? And remember, he's the one who's got the full fat, full strength marriage. And the Mishnah comes back straight away. Tetzei mishum achot isha. She's exempt. because she's his wife's sister. He's absolutely married. You know, he's someone of full capacity. He's married to someone of full capacity. That marriage absolutely stands. And the fact that his sister-in-law is deaf-mute doesn't make any difference. She's still forbidden to him. She's absolutely forbidden to him. She has no obligation for Yibum or for Chalitza. She goes out. She can marry anybody else in the world whom she likes. What about the other way round? Mate, Pitech, Baha Bikachat. So the one of sound senses dies. The one who had the full fat, full strength marriage dies. Mayase Pitech, Baha Chareshet. What does the one who, Pitech, Baha Chareshet, the husband of the deaf mute, what does the husband of the deaf mute do? He's described as Pitech. He's got full senses, but he's married to a deaf mute. What does he do? What does he do? And remember that he has now this relationship of Yibum with his sister-in-law. His brothers died childless. In theory, he should carry out Yibum with his sister-in-law, but his sister-in-law can't carry out Chalitza. She can't carry out Chalitza, and of course he can't do Yibum. So he's married. He's married. His own marriage isn't really deraita. He's married to someone who lacks mental capacity. So while his connection with his Yavama, his connection with his sister-in-law, is absolutely ordained by Torah law. Maybe it's even strong. It's absolutely ordained by Torah law. His relationship with his wife is not. He has, you might say, a stronger relationship with his sister-in-law, whom he's forbidden to marry, than he does with his wife. So essentially, in essence, both are forbidden to him. But the relationship with a sister-in-law is stronger because it's deraita. So what's the Mishnah going to rule? Motzi et ishtov a get. He gives his wife a get. He gives his wife a get because there's no other way. There's no other way of getting out of the relationship with that wife. Ve'eshit achiv b'chalitza. And then the sister of his brother, well, she was of sound senses, so she can do chalitza. She can't do Yibum because she can't marry the relative. She can't marry the relative of her sister, even if it's even if her sister is divorced. You can't divorce your wife and then marry her sister. So we have we could say it's a tragic outcome, but let's carry on in the Mishnah. We'll see an outcome which is even more tragic. Shnei achim, echad choresh ve'echad pikeach. So we got two brothers, one deaf and the other sound. Nesuim l'shtei achiyot, echad choresh ve'echad pikeachat. And they're married to two sisters, one deaf mute and the other sound. You can see, by the way, the Mishnah is going to exhaustively work through all the combinations. Why does it do this? It's clearly the Mishnah wants to teach us. Maybe the Mishnah wants to teach us a principle, or maybe this is a good way to learn it. I don't know. But the Mishnah is going to exhaustively go through all the combinations. And there are another three Mishnayot like this, which we're going to learn on Sunday. So we've got one deaf and two brothers married to two sisters. And in each case, one is of sound senses and one is a deaf mute. Mate Cheresh. So the deaf mute dies. Presumably he dies childless. So the one of full faculties, who's married to someone of full faculties, what does he do? Well, we can guess the answer by now. His sister-in-law is exempt because she's the sister of his wife. He's married. He is of full senses. His wife's of full senses. They have, you could say, a full fat, fully caffeinated marriage. he absolutely it has power. He absolutely cannot take on his wife's sister. She has no obligation under Yibum or Chalitza. She goes out, she can marry anybody he likes. What about the other way round? Mate, pikeach, bala pikachat. So the one who is of full faculties, married to someone of full faculties, dies. Maya se cheresh bala chereshet. What does the deaf mute married to a deaf mute do? And of course, we know that he can't accept chalitza. He can't accept chalitza from his sister-in-law because we know that someone who's a deaf chalitza requires intent. It requires capacity. He can't do chalitza. And yet, this bond of yibum, this bond of levirate marriage, has already been created by the death of his brother. And if anything, the bond of yibum is stronger than the bond of marriage to his wife, because he's only married to his wife rabbinically. They're both of limited mental capacity. Whereas his dead brother, his deceased brother, had a, if you like, full strength marriage to the person that's now his widow. And she's connected. She's connected via yibum to her brother-in-law. So he's connected. He is connected to two women without his will, and he can't do anything about it. So what's the Mishnah going to say? Well, as we learned, as we had in the previous situation, motziat ashto v'get. So he sends his wife away with a get. V'eshet achiv asura la'olam. His brother's wife is forbidden forever. And I think this means that his brother's wife cannot marry anyone forever. His brother's wife is a perpetual widow. She's connected to her brother-in-law via yibum, and she can't dissolve that bond. She can't dissolve it via chalitza. She can't marry him because he's the husband of her sister. So she can't have yibum. She therefore can't have, for example, yibum and then divorce. We've seen this as a possible option. She can't have chalitza. And until she has either yibum or chalitza, she can't marry anybody else. So it's as if she's frozen in limbo. It's a tragic and terrible situation.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Daily Mishnah Podcast with Benedict.